It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A lovely day out there. And aren't you happy, are you not happy to be here in Hawaii? We could be in a many of places, but guess what? We're here. Lucky. Or some of us might say it was our destiny. But anyway, a lot of stuff in the news, and, you know, quite often I sit here and talk, and so I'm going to invite any or all of you to call in, and maybe there's some issues that, you know, that I pick and talk about, and you might be interested in them, and you may not be. But if you have something out there that just missed the airways, or you have an insight, let's try it this morning, if you would, and we'll see where we go from there. But I have, as always, lots and lots to talk about. It's just a matter of focusing. But many things in the news, and there's one thing that I we'll talk about regarding the state health department and many of things. We know that in the new development in the Department of Land and Natural Resources is that Suzanne Case picked Mr. Bruce Anderson to head the aquatics division. Now, you know, Bruce is a nice guy and has a, I should say, Dr. Bruce Anderson. He headed the health department, and we know that there are many things in the health department that are broken and never was fixed. In fact, we just saw that over time, he wasn't in place, was not present when some of, well, we shouldn't say, the recent abuse of overtime and the loss of the millions of dollars that the EPA threatened to take back. But in looking at this selection, I'm concerned that we are, and our governor, Governor David Ige, is in this instance is have left the barn door open and everything except the cows and the pigs and the horses and the goats that would normally go in there into the barn is not going in there. And what I mean by that is that they had a selection process in DLNR and led by Case and a few of her selected people, you know, Bob, some of the people that were there formerly there as one person as an employee. And Bob, I'm told, this is what we're told, we're on the selection committee. There was an Eric Cohen. Eric Cohen, as you know, is affiliated with the Castle Foundation. And you've heard me talk about Mr. Cohen and Mr. McGilvery meeting with Eric Cohen. And there is this, and I say it again, and I describe it as an overthrow, but an overpowerment. And within the DLNR, and I'm going to offer this because we're going to move to the DOH and show you, they're quite relevant, and it's not scattergory that I'm talking. It's actually something that we all should be concerned with. Many elements that present themselves that just in modern times and in the way we think now and the science that we have and the knowledge that we have and the background, we should divest ourselves of this thought that old school money, old namesake, you know, the Bruce Andersons of Anderson Quinn and whatever the group is, his father was a lawyer and from way back, and so the Case and, you know, the Case family, big names. And the governor permits this. We were pulling our hair out and you know, biting our nails on when the other gentleman was worked for Castle and Cook. We were screaming, and I was part of that chorus. you know, saying, no, don't have this guy. It's not right. And then we, in the environmental community and all, we drop the ball. Or maybe we never intended to drop the ball. But there's some things that are going on within DLNR. And just for example, the governor now has been in place, I know, for close to a year. And within that year, we still have several divisions that are vacant on the top. DOCARE does not have a permanent leader. DOFA does not have a permanent leader. State Parks does not have a permanent leader. State Historic Preservation does not have a permanent leader or a permanent or a director or a chief. And then fiscal. So if you're tasked with protecting the interests of the environment and the people and the native people and their interests and their land, and then the general public, why would you take such a long time to do this? And then you have a complete process of recruitment within house of experienced people, professional people, biologists that have been there for years, which leaves some history and some knowledge, which is quite important when it comes to managing natural resources. You wouldn't want all freshmen out of college or just out of junior college trying to manage something as fragile as Hawaii's environment. So Bruce Anderson may have the doctoral degree and that and have bounced around at Oceanic Institute. But my concerns is not with Bruce Anderson. My concerns are with how Governor David Ige selected this Miss Case. And within the Department of Land and Natural Resources, see, Case is behaving as if she's learning the hard way. She come in and the Cape Flattery, some of you know of the Cape Flattery that ran aground, and there was several million dollars involved in that for the damages. And immediately, from the outside, within the inside, she sets her eyes and her taste buds on the monies for the Cape Flattery settlement. And I'm told that she was admonished by federal agencies that this wasn't going to wash and back off. But we've seen the Sea Cucumber debacle where she staged and with her officers in Maui orchestrated that. So I'm sharing this with you to say that I think we can't change Case because Case is part of this hui that if within the government agencies, let's say, we have now interns, or there's an attorney that's on staff, David Sakota. He our legal fellow within the DLNR. We have another person, Aaron, that is there, and a legal fellow or some sort. I don't know her exact title, but the question is, where are these monies coming from? So I offer that as a sidebar to what is going on, and then we move to the DOH. And we recently, and you've heard me talk quite often about the DOH, as far back as when the Sun was still young. And some of you may recall the kinds of shenanigans at the DOH are just unethical practices, where you remember way, way back when things were still young and we were all learning that there was shipments of poke, raw fish, or tuna imported from other countries that had come in, and some people had gotten sickened by it by salmonella. And in fact, the DOH did not disclose that information until I uncovered and was tipped off. And then, even then, they said, well, because it is a privacy matter, when in fact all we wanted to know was what Safeways and other main grocery stores were done that were selling this product so that people could be alerted and informed that maybe they thought they had a flu or that maybe they just got sickened. So that's just one of the things. And then there's a recent case, just recently, the 24th, the 21st it was actually rendered, but there's a court case that just so happened the state went in and defended. And we've said that the state shows a degree of kindness to certain companies and others. They try to bash them down for whatever reason, political, financial, we don't know. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment.
Well, I was going to comment on the on a national level. You said like an open line thing.
Yeah.
I was going to comment on the president's selective outrage about the shooting.
Well, yeah, go ahead. Help yourself. You failed to identify yourself the last time, but welcome back, Mr. I'm not going to get in a tangled mess with you, but Mr.
We should be able to discuss stuff. So,
yeah,
I don't know why I need to identify myself. But.
Well, I would like you to identify, because you see, anonymity invites, insanity. So I would say if you want to have a healthy, meaningful conversation, discussion.
Okay, Stephen. Stephen is my name.
Stephen. Even Stephen? Or just Stephen?
Oh, very even Stephen.
Okay.
Extremely even Stephen.
You're right, Carl. Let's incorporate a little human in this thing, man. We're too damn serious.
And that's the only way to do it. Okay, so without even knowing any of the facts, he gets on there and just starts telling people basically, and he went into this diatribe about young voters. We need to vote. Anybody who wants Second Amendment rights out, basically. And he doesn't come across and say what his plan is, what rules that he would imply that would have actually stopped this shooting. Now, keep in mind that this shooting, again, like many, many others, was in a gun-free zone. Nobody's going to walk in with a gun if he thinks the guy walked into a gun-free zone with guns. I mean, the criminal. And the criminal is not going to follow any law. So the whole gun-free zone is ridiculous. And then so he goes on and assaults all these people. And you know, the president didn't even talk. He wants to focus on this against terrorism. But in his own hometown of Chicago, it's basically a war zone. He just brushes over all this other stuff. But if somebody, and it is an extremely terrible thing. They had one guy, actually a U.S. vet, attack the guy and try to save people. He didn't have a gun, and he got shot numerous times. He's still hanging on by a thread. The president didn't even mention that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, really, you know, if he wants to talk about throughout the country, in all these Chicago, New Orleans, they have the highest gun regulations, but yet the highest criminal shootings.
Right. Okay. And so, just for starts, I tend to be liberal in all of my thoughts, even the way I drink water. And I think everybody should just leave me to hell alone and let me drink water out of a straw or with my hand or soak it in a towel and squeeze it out and drink it. That's in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Gun control. I believe at one time there should be some gun control but here's the problem. Now, I believe that the encroachment on, and as a liberal, and many liberals go, when they hear that a gun went off and shot somebody, they fail to stop and say, well, you know, what caused that person to do that? Then what are we doing to cause that? And what are we doing? You know, we don't want people to get mental treatment because we don't want to be a socialist. We don't want to give free medication. We don't want to give anything. So what happens when he resorts to using violence such as a gun? The president should be a little more cautious at when he speak on these issues, because not just the constitutional right. I'd like to see what he and many others have done over the years to come back and deal with mental health issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not to attack him, because I didn't see anything come from any administration. And as far as speaking out against him or challenging what he failed to do or pointing out what he, And in Chicago, Al Capone and those guys up there were, what was the president in that time doing? We don't know. I don't have a record of what he was speaking or what they were doing. But you're right. I believe that a bit of his comments were premature. But then on the other hand, put yourself in the position of a president, not a president of Barack Obama, just a president. And these things happen time and time again. And on one side of the aisle, you're saying it's our right. On the other side, saying, oh, we're scared of guns. And that, there you go again. And so there's no balance, no conversation, no discussion.
Well,
and
yeah.
I don't think any person in this day and age should be stripped of their guns, because when we turn to the police departments now across the nation, they are either, you know, you can get, you're involved in a crime and you go there and you're treated like you're the criminal. Here's a form, fill it out. And then you never hear anything. So where is the protection that people should be afforded through these police departments, right?
Absolutely.
So that's one of the reasons I say it may lead to chaos, but that's what it'll lead to anyway if we have police departments that are not manned enough, not funded enough, or whatever the reason, or start to, and there's some danger, and I don't know if you're aware of this, you know, police chiefs and mayors can reduce crime overnight. You know that, right? And you know how they do it? Go in and have the legislators to reduce the penalties of a crime where it used to be, if you went and stole somebody's car, went inside, man, that was a hell of a crime, you know, to commit. Now they now just say breaking and entering an automobile without authority and unauthorized entry, and it's not treated as, you follow?
So, I absolutely tell.
So I agree that in this case, the president should be reluctant and assemble an honest committee to look at many things and I speak out and identify why is it that people are killing one another? Why is it? Is it our failed policies? Is it our failed economic policies? But don't think you can go to Sports Authority and settle the nation's problems with gun issues when you fail to convene meetings in Congress and pass laws to address these other issues, the cause and effect.
Yes, absolutely. I was just looking up statistics in Chicago, and it was quite amazing. And it was just, you know, and he came from there as a state senator, so I was just kind of blown away. But I don't know if there is an answer. I mean, you know, the only answer, you're going to take away guns of. I think do you have a law enforcement background? I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so you understand, you know. I mean, the whole point out is it's very hypocritical, and I'm not going to keep harping on the president, but it's very hypocritical. He stands at the podium and he's surrounded by armed guards. You know, he travels down the street. He's surrounded by armed guards, but he doesn't. You know, he attacks and wants to. I guess the only answer is take away all guns. But the criminals aren't going to follow the same things that we do.
Yeah.
You know, the rules.
Yeah. Well,
so it's a very touchy subject.
Yeah, we can separate the threads of this so-called fabric and you know, be picky. But let's not place it in his lap and make it his responsibility, because the people that are there protecting him are paid for by taxpayers' money. So apparently it is sanctioned by the people, the nation's people, number one. And it's not protecting him so much. It's the protecting the interests of the United States.
Well, not him personally.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and so when we fragment things and go directly at him with laser precision and then fail to understand that he may have 125 people around him, but that's what the American people have come due to. It's an admission that crime is abundantly present in all through, and it doesn't matter. And so we need to protect him. So is it he who says, well, Michelle, baby, how many people you think we should have today? And she says, oh, Barack, I think you should have 75, but make sure they come with big guns. No, it doesn't work out that way. It's something that's in place. The people are hired. The legislators, Congress and senators approve the budget because the people came in and said, not the president, mm-hmm. but the people that lead the agencies and the security people says, you know, in order with these various threats now, and we're moving so mobile now today, as the president is, when we see him here and there, and other presidents too, we need X number of dollars to hire X number of people to keep X number of training to have X number of cars. And I hear these people say, well, he's riding around in a limousine. He didn't buy the limousine. He didn't say, Michelle, what color you want today? You want a black one? Or it doesn't work that way.
I understand.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he, but I know it comes with the office, but still, yet there's still that wall of protectivism.
Well,
that supports him, and it's like he's on a podium. He's surrounded by guns constantly,
uh-huh.
but yet he wants to, you know, take it away. And it's like Rosie O'Donnell came out years ago and was bitching about guns, we should take all guns away. And it came out that she had, I don't know if she had a permit to carry, or I know she had armed security
uh-huh.
protecting her. So, I mean, the hypocrisy is just...
Well, imagine, this is why I'm always reluctant to talk in this vein, because the reality is, each event that have taken place and each event that the president, you know, when we step back and look at the entire thing as if we were angels, for a moment step out of the situation and look mm-hmm. down on it, and we will see faces that look like your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your aunt, your uncle. These are human beings that are being murdered. And so maybe what I would love to see is that we, the liberals,
mm-hmm.
and the right wing or the conservatives, started the conversation away from the scene of the crime, you see, so to speak. So when the no dignity is brought to this conversation anyway when we gather around the ambulance and start bitching and moaning about the president or someone, and the liberals don't want you to have guns. Nothing good will ever come of it, because that's what we've learned to do. And I'm as a more frightened of a liberal about gun ownership than I am a conservative. And
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's just the way it is, because I don't want to die from a gunshot. I don't want to die anyway. You know, I want to be here forever.
Sure.
But realistically, it's not
sure.
going to happen, right? But I think that at some point we need to, like, set a neutral zone. The crime scene is not a scene of discussion. We should initiate these conversations way before and keep them going. But
mm-hmm.
when the crime scene occurs, there that guy go again talking that smack about gun control. And it's like, wow, the people that lost their loved ones and the shock of this is a free nation. And you go to college, isn't that funny? We're going to colleges, and so the debate should be, we need to arm people in the colleges. We need to put people, take measures to prevent
yeah.
that. Until we get all the people that are mentally ill encouraged to do that, right?
Yeah, well, you're speaking more like a conservative than
no,
I understand. I mean, you know, in this topic.
I'm a human being.
Absolutely. It's common sense, Carol. It's common sense.
It's just that I think this is why we struggle to understand why this nation is stuck in a cesspool right now, because on the right, on the left, in the middle, in the center, and because
mm-hmm.
we're committed to nonsense when we should be committing our best, putting our best foot forward and fleshing out these issues rather than gathering at the crime scene and say, it's time, baby. This is a good one here. You know,
yeah.
when it's just wrong. And
I understand. And also, you know, it works both ways. If we can figure out, I mean, this guy never showed any mental problems, but there were signs. I mean, what law is going to, he bought the guns legally.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, so the only other opportunity to stop him is someone in the school with a firearm, like that ex-soldier who attacked the guy.
Uh-huh.
He took 5 bullets.
Uh-huh.
You know, if somebody had a gun and was trained, they have strict permit carry. I mean, it's not just every Joe gets a permit carry. You have to go to school, and if they worked on that angle, so these people are trained in situations where there's crowds around or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And if there is anything, you know, to focus on the mental capacity of this person, I don't know what the answer is, because he bought the guns legally. But to disarm America, and it is happening more. The president's talking about it happening more. So, but his thing is take more rules against guns to protect yourself. And it's just, you know... I don't know. I know Hawaii has extremely.
Hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
Call.
Oh. Hello?
Hey, you got to turn down your mic or something. Call back again. But you pointed out one thing about Rosie O'Donnell, and many liberals, they are able to extract themselves from the situation and look down on it and say, this is what should happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in all situations, they live in gated communities, and even if their security company does not carry guns, their security companies has a direct line to most police departments. And when they call, that's just like being an instant. This is a special instance here, so get over there. You follow? But
yeah.
you and I, as common people, per se, we're stuck. And then we're told, well, you can't have a gun because you smoke marijuana. You did this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wait now. You need to do something. Either beef up the mental health regime that you give people and expose and care for them. I mean, we have people on the street that not all are wanting to murder or kill, but you or I could go off any day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, speaking of crime, if I could tell you a really quick story.
Mm-hmm.
My son, 2 years ago, he was in high school, and him and his buddies were cutting through a trail going down the Pearl Ridge, and there was a gang members. And they robbed them, and they were doing this for some time in this trail, right up above Polymomi, robbing people of iPods, money, whatever, and they were doing this for quite a while. These were actually high school students with my son in school, and they'd be robbing people. They'd put the bandana to show their gang affiliation and rob people, and my son refused to give his iPod, and he went to the hospital. He got attacked with baseball bats, a Jack Daniels bottle. He's lucky he's not in a wheelchair. This was 2 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
So we prosecuted them, and the police were dragging their feet. They knew two of my son's friends identified the guys. They were from Lava gangs, and they dragged their feet. They finally corralled these guys, and we prosecuted, and they charged them all as juveniles. And one of them was like a month away from his 18th birthday. He was the head. He was the gang leader. So anyway, come to find out, after we prosecute them, they get out. This is the same group of guys that were going out around robbing the stores with guns. So they escalated it up to guns, pointing guns and whatnot. And they got busted. And the same guys who were sending my son retribution tech, reimbursement of his goods or whatever, is in jail, federal jail for guns, which is bad. So the other day, my son, this is 2 years ago, my son graduated, he's working, he was catching the bus home in IA to where I live, and two guys came at him at the bus stop, and, it was just a copy of what happened to him. This kid got beaten, and my son's a big boy, but they come in mobs, and so the guys tried to rob him. My son ran out in the street right there by Kentucky Fried Chicken in IA, ran out of the street, I think, oh my God, what if he got hit by a car? He ran and ran away. He called the police. The police came and said, well, we really can't do anything. We can't make a report because they didn't really rob you. It was an attempted robbery.
Mm-hmm.
And so my wife was so mad, she picked him up, went to Pearl City Police Station, filed a report and said, this is crap. I want something done.
Mm-hmm.
So my son said, look, these two guys were sitting in Kentucky Fried Chicken. They have surveillance there. You guys should go get the camera, and I can point these guys out. This isn't just about my son, and this is what I was telling him. This is about the community.
Mm-hmm.
We need to protect the community. The cops in that neighborhood who work out of Pearl City need to see these guys' faces, know who they're dealing with, and if they show up, they keep an eye on them. So we've been waiting. I told my son, call Kentucky Fried Chicken, see if the police ever came. They haven't done anything yet.
Yeah, well, that's my very point about when we talk about the liberalization side, speaking about banning guns. You can ban them on, and the next thing you know, the guy will take a bottle of gasoline and torch your house. Put it around. So it's unless we address the elements within our society now, and people, there's this notion that things have gotten worse than ever. And how do you gauge that? A crime today is as equally evil as one yesterday. And I don't know if they, because of the population of people have increased or what have you, but we need, if we're going to talk about pushing, suppressing the ownership of guns, we need to have more efficient law enforcement. And nowadays, if you're ripped off, you got an action, or you go to court and file a civil action, and you know what that costs you, right?
Oh, yeah.
These are the things that we need to turn and address. Maybe we need to make modification or refine our approaches to addressing societal illnesses such as this, you know. I mean, someone back up on your card and the person exchanged phone numbers and then the person leave the scene and then come back and when you call them, I'm not paying you anything. Now what do? You're filled with rage or you go file a lawsuit. You go call the police. The police can't really do anything.
Yeah, it happened to me. Exactly. With another situation years and years
ago.
So
these are the things I do, like you, bristle at when the president immediately in the timing of it. But I understand where he's coming from in that, and you know, it's trying to offer, but then just stop the discussion of gun control, and then let's say we have an unfortunate situation here. We need to address things like this, and I'm going to try within my powers, and I ask the Congress across the aisle and on my side to get off your asses and do something, right?
Well, there you go, Carol. You know, every once in a while, I get a topic that I agree with you totally, so I'm glad for that.
Yeah, I mean, if there's two of us, I don't want you being with me all the time, because if there's two, shame on the world having to tolerate the two of us.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I'll let you get going. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, man.
Bye.
Oh.
Yeah, you got some horn. Yeah, you got a radio?
Not my radio.
You got an earphone on, or?
Yeah, no, nothing.
Okay.
Well, let me try again. Yeah. I go again.
Okay. Well, that's a strange one there. Dave, I think they're trying to communicate with you. Anyway, good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comments or question.
Oh, hi, Carol. Okay, now it's going, I don't know where that came from.
I thought maybe this was your friends from outer space. You know, you felt you didn't hang up on the call.
Yeah, I know my radio was on. I mean, that was weird. I don't know. It's strange technology. Anyway, I wanted to bring up the way we mistreat the mentally ill. These are people, these are human beings that had unfortunate genetics in there, and so they had in America, and most of them have a very difficult life because we don't give a darn much for them, and we don't provide for them, and I think that, I mean, they can't work, or they're deemed that they can't work, so they can't be part of the mainstream. But they need to be part of they need the decent, for one thing, housing, and the treatments and the help they really need. And the system is so poor here in Hawaii. I just can't get over how bad it is. Since Linda Lingle cut, most of cuts she made have never been redone, and it was a lovely system as it was in the first place, you know. And that's why you see all these people on the streets shouting and screaming.
Well, let's hold up. I always want to be fair as best I can. And that, yeah, we mentioned Lingle, but remember now there was Caetano, and there's Wahee, and those guys.
Oh, yeah.
So let's be a little careful at suggesting that it's a political thing. Right. It's just bad government.
This has been going on forever
right.
in our country. I mean, the President Kennedy, just before he got his intention was good. They were going to the mental hospitals and put them in the community with proper treatment and housing, and it's like so many of these programs that they do, and they really provide the funding for about 10 years there. They were trying out that, but then that was a very low priority. And by the way, guess where on the political spectrum the mentally ill are. I mean, how many of them vote? How many of them are politically active? Pretty much, not hardly any of them.
Well,
they have averages.
But in a democracy, a system that's supposed to be representative of all people, regardless of what their race, religion, or their mindset, or, you know, the leaning politically. But you remember now, in the old days, we had terms like "don't go postal." And why were people, quote, going postal?
Well, yeah.
And using guns. Why were they doing that?
Well, they were stressed out.
But why were they stressed out?
We deliver all that Christmas mail.
Let's just say, and I don't believe, and I'm not, wouldn't dare attempt to justify or rationalize why they did it. But what I know about the system is that we are forever in the mode of operating in the mode of reducing pensions, reducing workmanship, reducing the load, reducing this, and then on the other side is that we then contract with companies, and so we're moving out the employees, and so we unjustly subject them to certain conditions in the workplace. This is just one, and some of them could be just as wrong as two left shoes and were just mentally ill or just violent people. But I do know that while we are being strict about scheduling and reduction of workforce in the postal system, as an example, and all of that, and trying to refine it, and we're contracting, and meantime, those contractors turn around at the end of the year and boast about how many millions or billions they've made in profit. Meantime, this person working in that mailroom was subjected to what he or she believed was to be unfair and unjust treatment, right?
Sure.
So who dealt with that? So what happens is that you saw the Congress and you saw others were in the workplace where there were things in place that were to address these and grievances and the unions. They became corrupted, and the person, the employee himself, that he or she that acted out in this violent way probably just felt the hell with it. Because I tried to, and if you look, most of them did have a relationship or some activities that involved negotiating or going to see EEOC or what have you. You understand? Or going through arbitration. If you look at most of those, and you would hear, well, he had had an issue with the management. But shows up at the union meeting or the management meeting and then go quote postal.
Sure.
Did we ever address those things? No. What do we see? We see a mass movement of people sleeping on the streets because somewhere, all of that. So, you know, a person with a gun or with a can of gasoline or with whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's the illness that is amongst us that have affected us, where good governance is absent. Self-serving government is not there. And they only respond to emergencies.
Right, and then the new social contract is done. You're not working. Well, you're just lazy. You don't just don't want to work and all this kind of stuff. And then too bad. Because we know you're lazy. So they don't even. You're in a wheelchair. You're sickly. And your job got dumped. I mean, they dumped you from your job, and all you have left is a measly little Social Security disability that you're supposed to be able to get a roof with and eat on and do all those kind of things. And that's why you should. I mean, you know, this is incredible. Here in America, the year 2015, we have people in wheelchairs on the street, people that are mentally ill. Carol, can I tell you, this still bothers me. I go downtown and on the bus, and I get off the bus, and you know where Union Mall is. There's about 20 people that have been sleeping there, and they're living in such squalor. And then this one woman, she reeks of urine like no one's business, and she's very mentally ill. She the shouts and screams of the windows and all that kind of stuff. But she, I called IHS. I said, guys, why are you doing something for this woman? Helping her out in some way. And then she, well, but she wants to be like this, you know?
Uh-huh.
And that just makes me sick, you know?
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute. No one wants to be living in their own urine and their feces and that kind of stuff. It's just the way the society is about, morphed into, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's unfortunate the way we have allowed ourselves to progress. I don't know if it's progressive, being progressive, but I don't know. We seem to get excited at the wrong times. The fervor should be displayed, especially the way things are decaying, in a sense that because it's completely lopsided. You take, for example, the building that was built with the mirrors or the windows that now are reflecting light into the other condos and what have you downtown, and they give them a small fine. Do you think stacking all of that on that someone may just go, oh, well, okay, my government just screwed me again, so, oh, well, that's the way it is,
yeah.
Right? And so what I would say, both the liberals that believe that guns should be, you know, nobody should have a gun, I would say then get off your duff and go out there and demand that the mayor hire competent people, not people that are aligning themselves politically and appointing people that will sign off on anything because, you know, the governor said, go ahead and build and we'll figure it out later. You know, when you get that kind of activities, and that's just one instance, multiply them, magnify them exponentially, are you going to have someone out there that is probably tired of working and trying to be heard and just decide to hell with it?
You know what? I just heard the police department hires this psychologist, I guess. Very, very smart fellow with his PhD and all that. And you know, I mean, he was even saying the mayor that does not put any priority into it. You know, what they do, they go out. I mean, he goes out and tries to counsel with the people who are mentally ill, because sometimes the police don't seem to understand how to approach it. And, you know, I mean, you hear that all across the country.
Well, hold on 1 second. You know, I hear that a lot. Let me, just you and I one day, let's do this as a test. We're going to be the society's guinea pig for a day. And we're going to don a gun and a uniform on, and we're going to say, okay, call Carol and Dave, and here's our number. And we're going to respond to the world's problems.
Yeah.
And, okay, call one. Carol and Dave, go out there. We don't have any background. We don't have anything.
Wow.
And yet, Carol and Dave is expected to go out there and solve this issue, society's BS, right?
All right.
Something that has accumulated on this person's mind or what have you and put him there. And Carol and Dave, as officers, are supposed to arrive at the scene and solve it in the best way possible. Not knowing, you don't know what the mayor wants, you don't know what the city council wants, you don't know if they're going to back you, you don't know if you don't know if the ACLU is going to sue your butt, you don't know. And then a call two comes out. You go out there, and you don't get a time to say, okay, Carol and Dave, you got an hour to review this person's background, and you got an hour to, and so 6 hours to respond to that call, and so we want a perfect result from you. So when you go there, and this person's standing there, and you've heard the call says he had a knife or was violent, you got time to sit there and act accordingly to society's expectations when in fact it's a deadly situation. You got to worry about that person hurting themselves or hurting others or hurting you, right? So I'm not defending the police department. I'm trying to project and convey to you what a real life, law enforcement situation, I would beg any of you, I don't give a damn how many degrees you got and how smart you are, how many times you've been to yoga and gone and done, listen to Gandhi, you get in a car and you turn on a siren and you're driving and you're watching traffic and you're looking and someone's telling you on the radio it's a person of this color, this size, this description, and then you get there and identify that person in an instant, and then you are expected to resolve everything in a society that watches you like you are you're a freak.
Yeah.
And
it's
not the police. Now, yeah, I know there's some policemen out there. Well, but then what we need to do is turn our eyes on our legislators and our leaders and say, you're not worth two nickels. Here, take this gun and then go out there and you enforce the law, because this is your law that you wrote. And when you figure it out, call us, and then we'll take over again. But you know, I guarantee you there won't be any successful resolution.
Yeah. I mean, I've challenged the city council many times. I said, hey, guys, you guys go to Cockhawk Oak Park, and you sleep there for a couple of weeks, and have dirty clothes on, and don't have any ID, and no way, how are you going to even eat? And how are you going to survive?
Yeah.
Then you come back and you sweep out these encampments.
But you understand what I'm saying, Dave, in that when you as an officer, and please, nobody take this that I'm defending the police. I'm just trying to give you a greater insight and say to you that when you as an officer, You're going out there, and that phone call comes out, the radio call goes out, and you're dispatched. You're going to enforce a bunch of laws that was done for political reasons. Don't sit, don't lie, don't piss, don't spit, don't do this, don't carry a shopping cart, right? And you're the one who has to go there and confront that person and tell him, I'm only here to enforce the law. You have a shopping cart. You ain't supposed to have a shopping cart here. You ain't supposed to be sitting down. But, you know, well, there's no debate. That officer has no debate. That officer is solely carrying out his duties, that dispatch. But the real issues lies within our beautiful, well-constructed legislators and city council in this case. Yeah. But legislators got involved in it, too. So that's where our problems are. That's where most of our illnesses come from. For people, we don't acknowledge it, that we have slickies in government that will take law and flip it on its head and flip it on its back to make it look good for their situation. And then we're left to tolerate the carnage or the unjust treatment of the people. You follow?
Oh, yeah, that just makes...
I don't know if that makes sense to any of you out there, but
it makes a very, very possible job. Many years ago when we first became homeless, I hated the cops like no one's business. I said, yo, you guys, I argued with them. I almost got arrested a few times. And then I figured it out. Daddy, you can't do that. If something happens, you go to court. You know, stay silent. You might be used against you.
Yeah, when we look at and scold the waitress in the restaurant or scold the policeman. In most of these instances, that's like we go in a restaurant and buy something, we scold the waitress when she's just delivering it, serving it to you.
Right.
Talk to the cook.
Right, exactly.
Talk to the legislators. And if we were to get good legislative processes and whatever, guess what? I believe that if law was made with incorporating all the thoughts about mental illness, fairness, equality, not going to have to be mentally ill. Some people get pissed because they were unjustly treated. Rational people, right?
Right.
Not on pills or what have you. Not on the doctor's care for mental anguish. That's where we, you know, when they say society is decaying, no, we just got Slick Rick in the office and we're voting for them, and he wants to stay in or she wants to stay in, and so they build this pyramid of beautiful laws, and we suck them down, and then when the reality comes, we don't make the connection. Why are we having? So
usually this isn't a mayor. It always comes saying to the police chief, "Hey, listen, I want you to force this law, and this law, and this law." Right? Isn't that the way it kind of works? Right?
Well, it can be. You know, I need look. You know, over here in Manoa, we're getting a bunch of this or that, and I need some increase in enforcement over there. Beef up the, you know, and now that's not to say that the chief is going to give in to the mayor and because of political reasons. He might tell him, look, I'll get to it. We got other issues. You remember, you were here just yesterday about a political problem in IL, right? Or you were just here in Hawaii Kai. So a good police chief would just tell him, well, you know, look, based on our resources and our the needs at the time, we will be enforcing. We'll look at, we'll give if we can, but... But see, the tail is wagging the dog in this situation. That's why we have a problem. So, anyway, we're going to take a break. And the caller that's waiting now, 524-1080, when we come back, feel free to call in. All righty? Okay.
Take care.
Can't you hear me when I call? Hey, Bartman, can't you hear me when I call? Well, you ain't so big, you just call. Man, waking around the fire. I want a little rain of water. That you won't let Jimmy start, big boy. Can't you hear me when I call? Well, you ain't so.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show. Right after the news on KWAI Honolulu. Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Thanks for joining in, and hope it all is well. You can get this at podcast at carolcox.com anytime, day, night, week, whenever. Feeling good, feeling bad, go there and listen. And you can also go to KWAI 1080 AM and listen to all of the shows live stream at KWAI1080AM.com. So 524-1080 is the number here. We're talking openly. Now, I'm going to take for sure another 15 minutes somewhere in the midst of this and to continue my discussion. It's all relevant to what we're discussing earlier. the woes of government and the woes of society. And I don't believe that all of our issues with violence stems from people, individuals, not being able to deal with violence or select or decide should they act violent. I believe that a lot of it is that the, by design or by fault of our legislators and the way the laws are and the corroding and the eroding of our court systems and all of that, you expect a guy, if you molest a child, you get sent down the drain. But we see situations where, you know, they get suspension of probation and what have you. That's just an example. Many instances we see they get off lightly, or they get to clear their records in 5 years. Some people may not be agreeable to that, and inside of them they want justice. So I'm not justifying violence, but just we need to acknowledge that there are many other reasons. The gun does not kill people. It is the issues in the environment and all of those things that leads up to the violent act that maybe we as a society need to go back and say equality, equity, fairness, and enforcing the laws across the board. If you got money and got lawyers, doesn't mean you're entitled to kill people and get off, because some don't, but there should be justice. Caller, good morning. Thank you for waiting. You got a comment, a question? Well, that one went away. But anyway, 524-1080 is the number if you get anything you want to chat with. But I want to take a couple of minutes and finish this up that I had opened earlier in the first hour. Now, we know, and this is consistent with what I believe is the real rot, contributes to the real rot and decay of the American society, and why we see so much violence and why people are resorting. This is just one aspect now. I could be off target. I may not know what I'm talking about, and there probably is some psychologist or psychiatrist who says, the boy's crazy. He knows not what he talks about. But I'm going to take a stab at it anyway. But so we talked about the Department of Health. Now, there is a lawsuit, and we've mentioned this, the Department of Health, Snitchers Steal, sued Island Recycling, and they're both recycling companies. I know we've already talked about it, and you know that Island Recycling had a large fire. We talked about that. And the state agency is the Department of Health. So the Snitchers Steal file a motion, memorandum, to in opposition to Island Recycling and the state health department's move to ask for summary judgment, because Snitchers Steal said that the state is failing basically to enforce the law, which would be detrimental to not just Snitchers Steal, but all business. If you're favoring one business but holding others to the feet to the fire and strictness and enforcement and regulatory efforts and that and making sure that they get the permits and all and stay in compliance, that creates a climate where the ones that are being watched got to do things to the right down to the alphabet. But over here, the allegations is that the state was reluctant, or is reluctant for whatever reason, to enforce the law and hold this company, Island Recycling. So anyway, I'm going to try to go real quick. This is the state file an objection, basically, to Snitchers Steal's claims that the state was not enforcing the law and basically giving favoritism to Island Recycling, and that Island Recycling was contaminating the waters of the state. And the state came in and argued on behalf of themselves that Island Recycling was not contaminating or introducing contaminants to the waters of the state, because this was a ditch. And so basically the September 24th, they filed this, the state did. The Virginia Pressler now, the head of the state agency, defendants Hawaii State Department of Health and Virginia Pressler, memorandum in the reply of plaintiff's memorandum filed on September 21st, 2015. Opposition to defendants Hawaii State Health and Virginia Pressler's substantive joinder in defendants Island Recycling motion for summary judgment regarding drainage ditch. Defendants Hawaii State, and so Snitcher filed a claim against in court against the state too. Defendants Hawaii State Department of Health and Virginia Pressler in her official capacity and by through their attorney Douglas Chin, Attorney General of Hawaii, and Karen Imagi Gaki and what have you. And introduction, the plaintiff Snitcher Steel Hawaii Corp has instituted the civil litigation against defendant Island Recycling, one of the plaintiff's main competitors in the city and county of Honolulu in the state. Plaintiff claims against the state contain in count two of this first amendment complaint and assert that the state is not enforcing the clean water law on the Hawaii Revised Statutes 342 against the Island Recycling, nor properly regulating Island Recycling's business. Therefore, plaintiff has filed the instant civil action seeking to take over DOH's regulatory responsibility and put IRI, Island Recycling, out of business. Now, this is a state making this claim. Therefore, plaintiff has filed an instant civil action seeking to take over DOH's regulatory responsibility and put Island Recycling, Inc. out of business. Now, this is a regulatory body. The Department of Health has no business, in my opinion, taking such a stance. How the hell do they know that you're going to try and put Island Recycling business out of business when they're just simply saying, look, we believe it's sanctioned by the courts to allow us to go in and sample, and the courts allowed them to, and they went in and documented that there were contaminants in the soil, in the ditch, there was scrap metal in the ditch, and what have you, that shouldn't have been there. And then they then come and file and say that this company is trying to put the Island Recycling out of business. You go figure. Translate that into other issues in society and overlay that. So while plaintiff opposition to the state substantive joinder in Island Recycling's motion for summary judgment asserts that DOH is making, quote, blatant efforts to obfuscate the facts and law, its opposition is yet another attempt to cast aspersion on DOH so that plaintiff can take over DOH's regulatory authority and regulate Island Recycling, Inc. in the manner the plaintiff wants. This is the state health department, a regulatory body, again, making such claims. And now, mind you, this is the state's response, a memorandum file in response to a declaration that is Snitcher, and it was initiated. They want to file a joinder, become part of it with Island Recycling. So following are examples of plaintiffs' disagreement, disparagement of DOH in its opposition memorandum. So in other words, you can't challenge the state and call them and ask them to be held accountable or do their job, get off their duff and do their job, because they're fragile and sensitive. It's and now agencies, I guess the Supreme Court says companies and other entities can or be like people. So the DOH now, an agency, is acting, it got its feeling hurt, so to speak, apparently, because it's saying, following our examples of plaintiff's disparagement of DOH in its opposition memorandum. One, quote, DOH has not taken appropriate enforcement action against Island Recycling for its violations. Two, despite this suit, DOH has continued to refuse to do its job and is creating bad public policies by taking the position in this case that are designed simply to cover itself. Three, DOH position that it need not test samples from the drainage ditch to ascertain the extent of the pollution shows its blatant disregard for its legislative mandate and a complete failure at enforcing any violations. Four, the effort that DOH is willing to go to justify its failure to act are staggering and exemplify why review of the facts by this neutral tribunal is necessary. Now, you get your feeling hurt as an agency, and I have said the same thing. And I guess it being that it's not in the court, so I say the same thing to them, State Health Department, you're not doing your job. I'm reporting this, and they go back and report to the violator who it was that reported them. So now it's new light is coming to this, that the state is so acting so improperly, in my opinion. I'm not saying anything about the court procedure. So the argument was plaintiff asserts that three arguments in the opposition to the state motion, that DOH, by joining IR Island Recycling's motion, has therefore adopted the position advanced by Island Recycling, concedes its jurisdiction to regulate the drainage ditch, that the drainage ditch is not state waters. This is a state now. The state is saying a drainage ditch is not state water. They file this in a formal action in court stating that a ditch is not, a drainage ditch is not state waters. And in that the drainage ditch is not state waters is internally inconsistent and contradicts the evidence. Each plaintiff's position will be addressed herein. So anyway, the state health department needs to clean its act up big time. We see the Waikiki issues where they didn't speak out and they didn't want to talk. They would only allow the city to talk. And then when things got hot and heavy, they didn't say, we better say something. But the ladies and gentlemen, we are faced with some of the poorest enforcement and regulatory actions you've ever seen in any, if you were able to know what is going on in the health department. There are brilliant people there, but the upper management politicizes everything, and there's no way you could ever justify going in and telling the courts that a ditch, a drainage ditch, is not waters of the state when by definition, and then when you further ignore the fact that Island Recycling submitted a draft and a plan that described the drainage ditches leading to the ocean and draining into the ocean when it's needed to drain flood waters or storm waters off the property. So, what gives here? Now, imagine this being some other instance. Is it possible that someone will decide, well, gee, if you go to that extent, then I'm going to resort to violence, to hell with it. If the system, the regulator is out there behaving in such a fashion, speaking on behalf and saying that I am trying to, or the company is trying to denigrate another company and trying to put it out of business, that's taking a liberty to make some great statements. And I would be bothered if I was Snitch or any other company. To, in other words, have words put in my mouth or describe something that is not factual. DOH jurisdiction of the so-called drainage ditch. Now, again, Island Recycling had to submit applications and all for the stormwater management plan, and in there it identified this ditch to the health department as being a drainage ditch, and it would be waters of the state, and it is, according to 342. So plaintiff in Section B of MIO asserts that DOH plainly concedes that it has authority to regulate drainage ditches on Island Recycling, but then appears to argue that DOH is not doing its job because the so-called drainage ditch is a state water, and the DOH has not required Island Recycling to dig out the existing soil and fill the ditch with new, clean material. Again, the issue before the court is whether this unpaved easement is in question is a state water. Plaintiff has concluded that it is, state water based on potential rather than reality. What an extreme measure that the state health department would go to in defending, shirking its responsibility and knowing that it's the law. But then that brings me back to a couple things. Some of you may be have witnessed this or can recall. When there are sewage spills, and why would the state health department be so eager to go and take such steps and such measures to go in and defend and say, yes, this is the definition, a ditch is waters of the state, we know that, but we're going to change it for the sake of this issue. Well, go back and listen when you, if you recall, the state is quick to say, a spill of sewage water spilled today, a million gallons, an example, and it spilled into a ditch. It did not go into state waters. You see the benefit, because if it goes into state waters, they are obligated to prosecute or take some regulatory action. But if the state is redefining a ditch according to 342 HRS 342D, that means the state is shirking its responsibility and manipulating the law and leaving somebody to be impacted and frustrated. So the plaintiff MIO, DOH stands by its position that this unpaved easement or island recycling property that is subject to these motions is not necessarily a, quote, state water, end quote. DOH position is based upon the fact that evidence in the case. I'm sorry, but when a state agency acts like that, they're not acting in our best interest. When state agencies behave and take another, it's your right to file an action in court. That's a civil approach. And then the state comes in and characterize your challenge as an act of intent to disparage themselves and the other business. That's not their place. Offer the facts. The issue was, is it waters of the state? Not, are they disparaging this company or are they disparaging the DOH? So when we have these kinds of managers leading these agencies, guess what? They may eventually turn into or trigger some violent act, because some people have patience and money and others don't. And some people have invested monies, and when they see that the agency is not protecting them or enforcing the law and they're being strictly enforced and regulated, it might trigger some action. So these are examples of why the decay that is occurring in our government, in our society, and if not a gun, it's something else. Whatever it is. But when you have a state agency doing and behaving in such a fashion, it's time to wake up. When you have these types of instances of behaviors, something's wrong. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
You know, in Dante's Inferno,
mm-hmm.
and the rings to hell, he says that fraud comes before violence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're talking about. People create fraud, and then someone reacts violently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what you're talking about. And that is the lowest ring of hell, is fraud. And fraud comes before violence. And in most cases, fraud is done by the state, just as you have said, just
mm-hmm.
as you have read.
Well, I'm a witness to this. This is that many occasions I've seen the decay is the lack of the referee being ethical.
Mm-hmm.
And when we entrust, we say, okay, we are allowed to commit these acts, do these things legally, and these are things you can't do while behaving or carrying out that legal business. And you are going to, the third part is going to be the regulator.
Yep.
And we can appeal to you
mm-hmm.
that about the other party or the unjust or the unequal playing field, unlevel playing field. All of those things come into play. And then when the regulator turns and say, well, you're complaining about this, you're just trying, it's really not a valid complaint. You're disparaging the other company, and you want to take over that company's business, and you want to put them out of business. I think that's a bit extreme and
that
speaks...
That is fraud. That is exactly it. That is, fraud is telling a lie.
And meantime, what this really spells is that here's an entity that has been able to deal with post-burn metals containing furans, dioxins, and PCBs and heavy metals and all of that, and not treat them as he's supposed to be regulated by his permit that was issued by the DOH. But on the other hand, other people, other businesses are being hammered.
Mm-hmm.
So why is this business being... And even while this was going on, the other party, the Island Recycling, had another violation of storing metal operating out of another facility that was not permitted. And yet the State Health Department is in there defending and challenging and improperly describing, erroneously I should say, with intent to harm, describing a legal process, the rights of this company to file an action, and come and demean it and say that it's maligning or, you know,
well,
disparaging.
My question is, what does the state have to gain by doing this? What is it just they're defending themselves, or what is their reason for it?
Well, I don't have any proof, but I can speculate on,
okay,
as we've known.
Speculation will do.
When you have someone that is in a business and you get favoritisms and they go down and regulate the other guy and go into court and want to become partners in such, and so to speak, and file a joinder and fighting a motion filed by the plaintiff, not listening to the merits of it and what the plaintiff is raising, you gear up to fight. And yet, other companies, you have to have permits if you get caught violating. This company, I found them to have left materials up in Wahiawa, up in the fields up there. State Health Department, and this is Island Recycling, State Health Department did absolutely nothing until we kept knocking on the door going, when are you going to take action? It's illegal. When are you going to take action against the city? When are you going to take it? And so the city and county is involved in, as well, because they deliver, and they also want this company to get the white goods contract, you see. And there, so is there people inside of government that have some dealings with this company? I don't know. I can't say that. But I can say that it is unusually friendly with Island Recycling and heavy-handed, and to go to this extent, to go into court, and when it's not your fight, you follow?
Mm-hmm. So are they just protecting their interests?
What is their interest, though, do you say?
Well, I don't know, but there must be something to go to this length.
Well, their interest might be, as I've tried to describe, is that when a sewage spill or oil spill or something, if the state can keep control of it by saying it spilled, it rolled into a ditch, but it didn't get into state waters. So they've been preaching that for some while now. But now this court case that was found ruled on, this was September 29th, I printed it off, Plaintiff Schnitzer Steel, Hawaii Corp., the court made its finding and granted Plaintiff Schnitzer Steel, Hawaii Corp.'s motion for partial summary judgment and denied defendant Island Recycling's motion for summary judgment regarding substantive joinder of defendants Hawaii State of Department of Health, Virginia Pressler, and in her official capacity. You follow? So the court's rule found that the DOH basically was specious, was improperly representing, and these facts were not facts. these ditches or this ditch is state waters, and the courts ruled that it was state water. So the state went in and argued that it wasn't. So the judge saw through that.
So the judge saw through it, and the judge said, hold on here.
Yeah.
This is state water. So what that, now, I don't know this. I'm asking. So does that mean that from this point on, that every time there is a spill or whatever, that the state is now liable because the judge said it is state water and it does go into the ocean and therefore you're responsible?
Right. It's state waters. It's period. Mm-hmm. It's waters of the state. And some streams are naturally intermittent, that they've come springtime, they flow on the surface.
Right.
And they may even, they may flow freely, continuously, and hit a certain area and go underground, but they're still a stream.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. in their filing, the DOH took issue with an issue on May 15th of this year, where Snitcher Steel cited that, and some of you may know of this or recall, where I reported a fish kill in IL, in a ditch in IL. And let me just show you the sneaky ways of a sneaky group of people within government. Now, I don't know what their motive is, or motives are. I don't know. I'm sure there's plenty and many. But in this, let me find my place here. For example, plaintiff, this is the state arguing, plaintiff reliance on a recent May 15, 2015 DOH news release to again disparage DOH is also misplaced. Plaintiff memos in opposition, it is clear from reading this press release that IL drainage ditch is a question in question is completely different than that of the unpaved easement on Island Recycling's property at the IL ditch, as the IL ditch, it's kind of faded, as the IL ditch is a drainage ditch that actually drains water into the state waters. Now, this is a statement in court, the court filings, okay, which is binding and there's some consequences. So they're saying this ditch drains into the ocean, right?
Yeah.
This ditch, so that's state waters. Okay. But regarding that same thing in their press release before they knew that this was coming aboard and they were freely speaking, this is what the state health department said about that ditch. During the department's investigation, the owner of the ditch, the U.S. Navy, was notified. The situation by the DOH, the source of the spill has been confirmed as a nearby business, Mock Hawaii, located in IL. Mock Hawaii reported that on May 11th, the company accidentally spilled about 70 gallons of an industrial cleaner into a storm drain inlet that drains to the IL ditch. You see the missing connection. You see, they know in court they got to tell the truth. But in their press release, they can freely fly loosely and say, oh, yeah, it just flowed into the ditch. They didn't say. And so, once again, they're protecting this company who is politically connected.
Oh, okay. That was what
And the original complaint was days before they even wrote this. And the only reason they wrote this is because I went out there and after getting a call from a citizen saying nothing was done, I talked to the Aquatics Division of State Health, State DLNR. DLNR says, we went there, took pictures, contacted the state health department. They were going to take care of the Clean Water Branch. When I called the Clean Water Branch, they didn't know anything, they pretended. And still today, we don't know what actions they took against this politically connected entity that spilled. But you see how they choose their words in a press release, you see, to identify it as just a ditch. But in the court records, that same ditch is waters of the state.
Mm-hmm. So what? So this court ruling means, if I understand this, that henceforth and forevermore, you don't get to play that game.
Right. Now, this wasn't a Supreme Court ruling or an appellate court ruling. This was at this level. But nonetheless, it clarifies, and I think it robs the state of that loose area that they can play in now.
Mm-hmm. And that was my question, yeah.
And I offer that as an example. You know, we always, nothing like a paranoid population. And I don't like that. I like to go out and try, and I hope that helps illustrate some of the paranoia that you hear me speaking. Because my concerns are whether it's the needles in the ocean, the medical waste that flows down from the Waimanala Gulch. They were there up on that hill lying and representing that it was a flood that occurred in 2011 when in fact it occurred in 2010. The dangers that were the threat of the sail breaking and sending some 7 million gallons down the hill, threatening the power plant. All of that. So why would you? And then you take the Waikiki. The state has to receive an accurate and true reporting of what was spilled. But they can also drag their feet in getting that report. And they were there at the podiums talking with the city and making presentation in the press release when, in fact, sewage water flowed into the stream, into the ditches at Ala Moana, into the lakes, and then into the ocean. And they didn't even test on the first day. Now, who amongst them decided? The health department would have immediately said, you got to test it right now, but they didn't.
Oh, so, there is so much pilikia here and so many... I'm lost. I'm thoroughly lost.
Well, just follow the scent, the stench of corruption.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's so much of it, I'm lost.
Mm-hmm.
There's just... Every time you look up, there's something else that someone did or did not do.
Yeah. 524-1080 is the number. If you have any comments or other comments about other subjects, you're welcome to. So that's the way it is. And, you know, it feels good when you can sit and lay out certain facts. But the downside of that is that when people, they gravitate back to the same things. And if we look at the tentacles, each and every tentacle that's on this corrupt octopus, we'll get somewhere. But if we're facing our heads down in the sand and we're digging feverishly to solve these problems, we can step back and say the whole system is corrupt, and here's how we know that. We're not speaking out of school. The entire system is corrupt.
And is it just to win the next election? I need the money to win the next election.
Is it just, well... Not really, because it may have some connections to the elections to come and those of the past, because when companies, you know, in Kailua, there was a million-gallon spill the same, pretty much the same day that the one in Waikiki. You're aware of that, right?
Yes.
What? Who raised a stink about that?
Nobody.
You know, where's the state, you know? So the problem is that when you give political donations and you appoint people in political positions as directors of the agency, deputy directors, city managers and all, there's a price to be paid by that. You handpick these people, and you are to protect, because the other give you donations, and you're going to insulate them by appointing people that, yes men, are gatekeepers. So,
like, what is his name? Bruce Anderson being named to the aquatics department.
Yeah,
and that's a real gatekeeper, absolutely.
Now, some argue that he's, and I've talked with Bruce and I've seen his work, but it's not stellar, and we're still suffering from some of the decisions and we still have the sewage spills and all. So what I'm worried about in that situation is that the privatization of our Aquatics and Natural Resources Department. We no longer have experience there. We have fix-it men, people that are friends of friends of friends of families. And these names, you know, the Cases and the Bruce Andersons and all, that bothers me because there are people that are qualified that have got 20, 30 years in aquatics, right? And I had one person to describe Department of Land and Natural Resources Aquatics Division as a dead division. There's no historical knowledge. And they say that it started with Mike Wilson being appointed as the chairman of Land and Natural Resources. You see?
That far back.
Yeah. That's why I'm always reluctant. It's okay, you know, being a nonprofit is okay, but we must know our bounds as nonprofits. We must give way to a professional system. And I know the state, it was manipulated, but you can't take away the knowledge of a marine biologist who has dove practically more times and underwater and studying coral than many of us have done any activity. And then we dismiss them. There were, I think, 8 people were interviewed internally, but Case felt that it was necessary to go hire Bruce Anderson. And some of the people, Eric Cole, who's a member of or employee of the Castle Foundation or associated with Conservation International, and McGilvery, Fraser McGilvery, and all that group of people. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm told KCOR, I can't think of his last name, he's her deputy. He was also on the committee, and she was on the committee. So I don't blame her. I say that the governor needs to revisit this whole process. And is it the governor's payback to Bruce Anderson? Did Bruce need a job? But these revolving doors of government agencies, and we seem, and another guy that plays that same kind of role that we see come and go is Tim Johns. And we see that in various government agencies where certain people who can come and go in various agencies, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is raises some big, big questions as to the aquatics division and also the forest. Well, you know, we'd be fair, the forest division parks, you know, it was recently vacated, so we're not going to raise too much. But there's some real concerns. And,
well,
you know,
I am, most people don't remember, but it was Bruce Anderson that really was the gatekeeper when we first started fighting about the chemical weapons transshipment to Johnston Island. And it was Bruce Anderson, as head of the department, that did not issue an EIS, did not tell us that the military was having a hearing. I mean, these are the kinds of things we had to stumble into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, most people don't remember that far back, but beginning then is my first experience with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was told when I went to a friend who was working in the governor's office, and I was demanding, do something, you know, my naivete, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Marcia, you're 2 years too late.
Mm-hmm. He being Bruce?
No, my friend in the governor's office,
okay.
Who was a low-level person, but mm-hmm. He knew what was going on, right?
Yeah.
And he said, Marcia, you're 2 years too late.
Well, if he knew that, then I would say to him, friend, you're lazy. You should have told me 2 years ago.
Yeah.
When did you know it? When did you learn it? And why the hell didn't you tell me? Don't wait until I call you. And then, oh, Marshall,
right.
That's one thing about having friends in government. They're really not friends. They're really what they are, just interrupters who want to get along and siphon what you know. But, you know, if they were truly concerned with the function of government and good government transparency, to call your friend, I would have been on the phone saying, hey, here, heads up, this is what's happening. Not wait until you come along and then I proclaim, you're 2 years too late. Really?
That's what he told me, you're 2 years too late.
I hope you...
I was, you know, like I said, my naivete, right? I thought that, I just really assumed that the governor's office was a clean bill of health, and I could go, I could scream and yell, and they would, like I said, my naivete, that was my beginning lesson in reality.
Well, it's unfortunate. It didn't present itself just yesterday. It's been here for... I'm talking about in general. We have been lulled to sleep in a position that really the behavior that they display is kind of crazy, because it's bold moves. The mayor, for example, should fire the director of the environmental services.
Oh, that's so bad. That's
period.
So bad.
Should fire. She lied, and she lied, and then Ross Sosmura came and lied on the second day and lied.
Right.
And so who do we hold accountable? Let her keep her job and tell the mayor, you know, Mr. Mayor, you just, the things, this water running under this bridge is not what you told us. You see, you have an obligation. You picked them. And if we got to sort through her lies, and, you know, to charge me, for example, $4,100 to read her lies. I file a FOIA or UIPA request, and they sent me a letter saying, we are working on it, and we're going to ask for an extended period to deliver this information to you. And then a week later, you owe us $4,100 to view this information, to get this information.
Really?
And by the way, I'm going to be out of office for 2 weeks, and that's on a Friday. So you understand, I can just simply share with all the listeners out there that this mayor is tantamount to the most corrupt person I've ever seen. Ever. And he's in your face. I mean, he was with PRP. He benefited from that. He then turned around. He's not even slick. He didn't even bother to be slick. Come back and say, well, I'm going to ask Hart to account for that. What do you mean you're going to have? You're involved with you understand?
Yes, I do.
But it's okay. If he's able to get away with it, and the listeners out there and the voters out there, hey, then, you know, I'm just... just do this for the fun of it, with the intent of maybe somebody out there that cares will be at least a little bit educated. But the reality is, this mayor has no shame.
None. Never. Even when he was in the legislature.
None.
Never.
When it came in the legislature, when it came down to regarding fuel taxes and all, right?
Mm-hmm.
He clearly went ahead and bam. It did it to the people. And so, you know, but if it's tolerated and he seemed to be sustaining himself, what, can't blame him. He could look at me and say, well, look, man, let's look at the facts. The facts are they voted me in, right? You can't argue with that. So what you're talking, Mr. Cox, is just plain old nonsense. Take it outside to the garbage can, because that's all it is to me, garbage. The voters speak. They voted for me. So I think that we're left to really, there's some big issues with that, you know.
Oh, my, yes. You know, since Jeremy Harris had made the Martin Luther King Coalition, had said, okay, we can't give you any money, because I was out begging for money. He said, we can't give you any money, but what we can do is co-sponsor. The city can co-sponsor the Martin Luther King holiday, and that'll help you somewhat. We can't give you any money, but we can kind of help. So every mayor since then has done it. last year I got a really nasty letter from the city saying they would no longer be co-sponsors of the Martin Luther King Coalition. And I tell you, the relationship with them has been really bad. Really.
But some will say, he showed up at the Martin Luther King parade.
No, he didn't.
No, no. I've seen him around there somewhere, but that's what they will say, you know. He was at somewhere the other day doing something that was, I don't remember. I just try to figure out how to keep my sanity, because I hear people discussing and talking about and how angry they are about his actions. And I'm just waiting to see what they say in their vote, right?
Oh. Yeah.
But anyway, that's it for all of that. And I just applaud the judge for making that ruling, setting the state health department, because there's some great implications there, ramifications. And now, you know, for example, the state health department, some of you may not know this, but within the environmental, in the HERA office, there are people that were hired a while back as consultants and very important roles. And the Environmental Revolving Fund was basically, I won't say done away with, but it was channeled into the general fund. And as a result, we lost pesticide by people that know about, you know, the deal with the pesticides, and support staff for some of the people that really do their jobs. All that's gone now, and so we are there's something we left on I think the agriculture department. So when those of you out there that are talking about GMO and all, just know that the pesticide people that were once on staff was no longer on staff in DOH HERA office.
Oh, God.
And a couple other positions, about approximately five positions were lost to this action. So where do we go from here, you know? And in one area, the epidemiologist, there were two positions in that. And the eco-risk assessor position was closed.
What is an eco-assessor?
Well, eco-environmental,
right.
Assess. He goes in and look at the impacts or the potential impacts or that are there, the chemicals of presence, all of whatever the samples and all. Hello, caller.
Thank you for taking my call. I've been out, but I just simply want to concur with everything that you have said in terms of the mayor. The mayor is using the new consultant's facts in terms of budget, etc., for the rail. And now the same thing applies to our whole government here. And everything that you say is not simply significant to the environment. It involves everybody and everything.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cox.
Thank you. All righty. Well, anyway, guys, we've pretty much coming down to the last couple of minutes. And so keep an eye out on the there's a couple of questions. You know, Red Hill, they have agreed to do whatever. And I'm wondering what they're going to do when they get to the Red Hill Tunnel down there where the rail will cross it, number one. Number two, again, there are issues of plumes in the ground, contaminants in the ground, that known and unknown, that's going to pose a great threat to the rail. And so that being the case, so they're talking so many billions now. I wonder what the real amount of money that's going to be.
Well, did you see yesterday's paper said that the land that they're going to put this high-powered, high thing of the control center in Pearl City the city didn't even own the land.
Right. But
so
why worry about that when you have a city council who's predisposed to be corrupt and taking paybacks, kickbacks, and favors? And guess who you're going to ultimately appeal to in the zoning committee, and who did you appoint to head the zoning committee, and who did you head for your planning department? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So we give a lot of trust to guys like Caldwell, or not just him, and this isn't directed at him. This is just a system. We fail to protect our own interests by putting safeguards in. And when this is going back to the decay of society, why are people who live on the edge or frustrated? What's there? What examples? They see many examples that they're frustrated. And one day, which one is the straw that breaks the camel's back that set them off? And I'm not justifying violence. I'm just saying, I think if we're going to address it, it's not gun control. It's societal control, controlling people that has taken our trust and squandered it, and moving to make money rather than to make good law. So we'll talk to you guys next week, and thank you, and we'll see you. Aloha.
Oh, listen.
I got to go. Yeah?
Next week is 10-10, and that is a big celebration right there where you are.
Well, you left me blind and dumb. I don't know what 10-10-10 is, and I got to go.
That's a celebration of the anniversary of Sun Yat-sen and
okay.
Taiwan.
So okay.
It'll be right there in your courtyard.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye.
We're having a party, dancing to the music played by the DJ on the radio. Popcorns on the table, me and my baby, we're out here on the floor. So Mr. DJ, keep those records playing, 'cause I'm having such a good time dancing with my baby. Everybody's swinging. Sally's doing that twist now. If you take request, I got a few for you. Play that song called Soul Twist. Play that one called I Know. Don't forget them mashed potatoes. No other songs will do. Let me tell you, Mr. DJ, keep those records playing, 'cause I'm having such a good time dancing with my baby. Everybody's waiting.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.